And we're back. It's a Taylor Report. You heard Tom Lear there. And we heard some other music, and our guest, Sandra Faria. Thank you for coming.
Hey, thank you for having me here.
I have to ask you, so what was this that music?
Well, it's Astor Piazzolla, if I'm not mistaken. So that's tango music, one of the most important composers in Argentina of traditional music. But he is well known around the world. He played New York, London, Berlin, all the orchestras that play Piazzolla. So it's a major honor that you have introduced me with Piazzolla today.
Yeah. We're really glad we asked. We try to do it right. People who are from the region, cover the region, are the ones who know. So
I know you always do an amazing work.
Yeah. We're really glad to have you here because you've been writing about and broadcasting about the South America, but you've also begun to take quite a close interest in developments in Argentina, and Argentina seems to have everybody a little uneasy at the moment.
Exactly, and it's been, quite a roller coaster for Argentina in the past month since the election. We had a national election, for those of you who haven't heard about it, and it was, in November after a ballotage. It was unthinkable probably to have a president called Javier Milei. Not even 2 years ago, nobody known who this man was. And nowadays, a man from no political experience and from no background more than media background, and being an economist himself, he was always working for corporations, so he was not in the political arena at all. And that's why I think he was able to conquer the vote of the Argentinians in this election, and because Argentinians were really tired of politicians, and they want some change.
This is what they get as reward.
But they are actually getting a surprise with this winner, because they are, submerged right now in an even worse situation than they were a few months ago, which was already really bad.
Yes. He would probably, I suppose he's selling to the people the idea, this is an interim period, then everything's going to be wonderful.
long you can promise things, right, without delivering? And that's the thing for Milei these days. He has been in office for a month. And just to give you some, facts here, I was checking the numbers from Argentinian media, and the poverty line is at 45%. That was after, several years, of course. But now with this new economic policies that he is trying to put in place, that poverty line will probably increase to the double. And we're talking about, massive amounts of middle class moving into poverty because of that economic situation. The inflation is at 30% monthly, which is outrageous for any economy, of course. Yeah. And can you imagine that people at these days, they are considering, especially the middle class, and we have to understand that people in the middle class in Argentina, they were used to pay for private schools, for example, for their kids, if they want to. They were able to pay for health, private health services, if they were. And that was pretty common among the people because all the public sector was, very inefficient for quite a number of years. So it's reasonable that people, with professionals especially, that they were able to pay for those services, they were affording those things. But now with this, economic downturn that Milei is presenting, they are going to have to cut on schools, on health, on a lot of things. And for the people who were already really poor, like this 45% of the population who were in the poverty line, that means that they are not going to have food on the table.
Yes.
So it's not only that they are cutting on services, but they're not going to be able to pay for their bills, to pay for their food, to pay for their rent. There is a number of new legislation in place right now. Milei is trying to impose a decree of need and urgency. That's how he put it. And this decree is basically trying to change the landscape of the legislation in Argentina for 70 years back. So that's changing about 300 laws in place already. And we're talking about, you know, privatization of oil industry, of airline industries, even selling any piece of land in Argentina will be legal today. So basically, if someone like Elon Musk or any other corporation show up, you know, to the Argentinian president and say, oh, I want to buy the entire Patagonia, Argentina, they can do it. So yes. It's very much like, I think, one of the most threatening things happening to the country in more than 200 years of history.
And he's doing this in an environment where it isn't clear what the other major players are thinking about it, or what they want to, whether they're trying to get him to back off. I see that he has a little problem with China. There's a thing called currency swap. What the heck is that?
Well, you have to think that Argentina has been in national debt for many years. That was actually, they got into this debt during the government of Mauricio Macri, who was a right or you know, president, right-wing president. I mean, but we will call it probably a conservative here, mm-hmm. you know, type of president. And he was the president there until 2015. And he made a big debt about, you know, millions, billions of dollars that were, you know, for every Argentinian, that means that they're going to be in debt for 130 years. And this multi-billion debt was basically done to in favor of the capital, right? So most of this money came to the country and immediately was sent off in offshores. So it was just like a wash money there, you know. So now we are in debt because of all those maneuvers, and the last government had to kind of face that big debt with the International Monetary Fund, and they start paying back, right? Because all the time that you get into a debt, you have to pay it back, especially with the International Monetary Fund.
And he said he was going to pay back, but now he has a headache, right?
Yeah, I mean, and he paid, so what the past government did was to negotiate with China to pay with the Chinese currency for some of that debt, because we had, you know, a government that was more prompt to have relation and commercial relationships with China, which is now again, you know, kind of opposite to the intention of Milei, because he also, you know, decided to remove Argentina from the BRICS, the group that was having Brazil and China and all these other countries that were part of this commercial agreement that was going to be important, you know, for the regional economy of Argentina and Brazil. But now that Argentina is canceling their participation there, the Chinese currency is not, of course, you know, available anymore. And the point here is, who is going to pay for that in the future terms? Because the International Monetary Fund, they are happy with Milei temporarily because, you know, they are interested, of course,
in everything.
Yeah, and invest
services,
in
everything.
A lot of investments, opportunities, you know, oil is there, natural resources, lithium, a lot of things that are in the interest of the mining industries too. So, of course, there is a good, you know, start with Milei in power. But what's going to happen when the streets and the strikes start, and they're going to make this government really not feasible to, you know, surpass the 3-month mark, which they are wondering now, is he going to get to a 3-month period? There is already a national strike that is going to be now on January 24th.
Yes, that's
a labor union, a massive, you know, labor union.
They have 6 million members.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of, you know, unions are concentrating now in meetings and having meetings and trying to organize themselves, because one of the main changes into the legislation that is proposed now in Congress is to change the workers' all compensation laws for workers in terms of salaries, income, you know, how the contracts are set up. You know, if you have, for example, a contract and you're a new employee in Argentina, you have a 3-month period like here, right?
Yes.
To become, you know, a permanent person. So those sort of things are going to change to make the workers' conditions, you know, and so
less
much
protection.
Easier.
Take the protection away.
Exactly. And makes things so much easier for the employers, you know, to fire their employees in no time and with no protection. Yeah. So of course, the workers, not only the public workers, but also, you know, all the sectors are kind of organizing at this point, trying to stop that legislation from becoming a law.
This is a serious confrontation. And I wondered if he's looking forward to it or not, because from what I read, there's on the strike, the unions are saying, well, he cannot take away from us our right to protest. Our right to protest is part of our Constitution. Hmm. And he has this woman, her name is Patricia Bullrich.
Bullrich. Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're
amazing name,
yes.
Bullrich. And she's just in. She wasn't elected to anything.
She's a bull. Yeah.
And she says, "I will arrest you if you picket,
exactly.
And you will pay for the cost of policing you."
If we have they are already applying this repression. It's called a repression
protocol.
That's
like a declaration of war.
Yeah. And it's not something new in Argentina. We have to remember that in Argentina we have a dictatorship for, you know, a number of years in the 70s and 80s, last until 1985 almost. And the Argentinians know very well, you know, after so many people disappeared, more than 30,000 people disappeared during the dictatorship. Milei doesn't recognize that number, and that was one of the things, you know, that so that was in campaigns. So can you imagine now being a man in power, you know? And his vice president
Victoria.
It's called Victoria Villarroel, and she has been a close lawyer for the people
the
in the junta, right? So they have been sort of planning for this change in the change of power. Really, it's what it's really happening in Argentina at this point, where the military power is coming back, right?
Yes.
And what we are seeing here is, as you said, a big risk for democracy in general, right? Because only
basic right to protest.
The protest is not going to be allowed. More than three people in a corner, they could be detained under this protocol. So we are going to see something really dangerous happening,
yes.
I think, on the next protests that are scheduled for January 24th. It's very unpredicted. Argentinians are not, maybe the younger generations are not remembering the dictatorship. You know, they never had this type of repression. But old people like me, you know, we remember clearly what happened during those years, right? And can you imagine that during the democracy, there was also a big repression that took place in 2000, about 20 years ago, under democracy. But there was still, you know, this big protest in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, in the capital. And in 2000, after, you know, the banks, you remember when they closed the banks for everyone and nobody could even access to their savings. And that caused a big, major, you know, protest in the entire country, but mostly in Buenos Aires, very close to Casa Rosada, the government house. And there, you know, there was a big repression that ended up with the president leaving the building in an helicopter. So that was, you know, a very historic protest in Argentina. In that protest, 45 people were killed that day because of, you know, the arrest that happened. So can you imagine now, you know, under these circumstances, and if we are talking about 1 million or 2 million people, you know, attending this protest, which they are going to try to stop. So they are basically trying to stop people from getting into the city to protest.
Well, how about, by the way, you know, general strike means you don't go to work. I mean, if you don't, while you can, there's also protest. If you don't go to work, those industries don't go. You know, in other words, they have to talk to you about getting you to go back to work. I don't know what the strategy is of labor, but By the way, each side is dealing with somebody they haven't dealt with before. This is like he's been all talk. He's a television personality. And now he's going to meet the concentrated power of organized labor. And Argentina has a history of rather advanced union people.
Exactly. And as you remember, you know, Peronismo is the root of that movement. And Peronistas are sort of one of the most organized movements, you know, in terms of work, moving workers, you know, mm-hmm. into protest and organizing workers in their factories and in their workplaces. So it's a very, I think, a dangerous situation for those workers who are going to attend. But we also have to think that these workers that are in the informal economy are also now organized. Because in the past 20 years, you know, there was, especially during the pandemic and, you know, all, after all these crises that I mentioned to you, you know, of course, the workers in Argentina, even those without legal rights, you know, they start to become organized now. Yes. So there are several unions that are organized in formal sectors of the economy. And we're talking about even people collecting garbage from the streets. They are organized these days. So after so many years of organization, you know, all these small unions, you know, that are completely outside of the system, they are also participating in this protest.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a massive, you know, amount of population. We have to think that 44% of the population vote against Milei in the past election.
Hmm.
And they are also counting now the last, you know, polls, and they are saying that he's losing 1 point every day almost with the current inflation and the current situation.
Drip, drip, drip.
So every time people is going to put gas in their tank, you know, he's losing a voter, basically. Yeah. That's what is happening.
They're taking his name and looking at the numbers.
So they said, no, I'm taking my vote. What are you doing, you know, with my economy? So it's very unpredictable to know exactly how many people will attend this yeah. protest.
That's going
to
be something. I wouldn't be surprised.
Weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised if he attempted to do something preemptive, because he's got a little time to try to strike them before they strike him. I want to ask you something also. By the way, this is Sandra Faria, who she's definitely an authority on. And you visited there not so long ago. And prices have gone up since you were there.
Unfortunately.
I want to ask you, today I was looking into this in preparation, and I noticed something rather odd I hadn't heard before, that there is a woman leader who they call El Jefe.
Oh, yes.
And they say that she's a real power. This is the sister, is it not, mm-hmm. of Milei? What do you know? Is it true that she's a secret power?
Well, nobody knows much about.
She used to run a cake shop. That's what I know.
Yes, and I'm not underestimating, you know, the family here business. You know, you have to think that in Argentina there's been a lot of always, you know, power behind the president, you know, not being, you know, a politician, you know. And we have to remember that this is not unusual for Argentinian politics. However, in this case, you know,
great name, El Jefe.
The sister is actually, you know, she played a big role in the campaign. So there was sort of, you know, very clear picture that she was going to play a big role during government. And actually, he changed a law to make her, you know, general secretary of the presidency. So that was kind of, you know, I'm already, changing the rules for my relative. So it doesn't look very good.
He changed that law that
did.
You could put your family members.
Her family member. Give it. Yeah. So that was not very, I would say, politically correct from the beginning. But, you know, those sort of things are not unusual in Argentinian politics. So we don't know really who she is. We don't know what's the power and what's going to control Milei at the end. But we know for sure that there is a parallel power beside Milei. And it's not specifically Karina, because Karina is with him, right? His sister. Actually, she's the only person he can trust these days.
Yeah, so who's the only person?
His sister.
His sister.
Yeah,
Jefe,
but
the one they call El Jefe.
Yeah,
Karina.
But the
Karina.
Other people around his government, you know, who gave them support with the votes, one of them is Patricia Bullrich that you mentioned, who is now, you know, the security minister or defense minister, also are from the other
with army
area of the government. And Villarroel is the vice president. So between Macri and Bullrich, you know, Macri is kind of the boss, the ex-president, you know, and Victoria Villarroel. So there is a lot of conversations these days in Argentinian media that they see a parallel power, you know, kind of, you know, just waiting for Milei to fail and ready to come into power again.
That's I'm really glad you raised that point. And again, it's Sandra Faria. Faria, the army. We noticed it, and we're hearing again talk about the Malvinas, and of course, people here think it's what do people call it here, the Falklands. Mm-hmm. It's actually Malvinas.
But I get the impression
he might be thinking of using a Malvinas crisis, a demand or something to strengthen the army and to divert attention.
That was a game already that was played during the dictatorship and didn't turn out very well for Argentinians, unless, you know, think about that, the thousands of soldiers who died in coal in those islands. So I don't think that
you think they're afraid to do it.
I think it will be a big mistake if they do it in terms of political relations. And they also don't want to get, you know, into the way of the British, you know, because they are considering the British as well as the, you know, United States, their allies. So I don't think they're going to move into that direction.
They would probably be told, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but
the Five Eyes would not like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Mondino, who is the ambassador, you know, for Milei's exterior policies, you know, I think that she will be a little bit more conservative on that front, yes.
Yeah. Actually, I want to ask you quickly, I was reading stories that the women's movement seems to be leading and countering him and also defending themselves, that his policies have brought about a kind of hostility to feminists, to women's rights.
Absolutely,
With women being threatened.
Thank you for bringing that up. We know already that several writers in Argentina, especially those ones that are, you know, opening conversations around LGBTQ movements and female, you know, revolutionary history, you know, that are women that are working, you know, in Argentina as writers, and they have, you know, promoted civil rights and women's rights for over the years. They are facing persecution these days, especially through the social media and the followers of Milei. It's not directly from government, but it's from the population who supported Milei, who they feel can attack these women.
He is really proud of his macho image with his chainsaw and all that.
Well, we have to see how the chainsaw and how far it goes now these days, and we are waiting for what's happened on January 24.
Well, Sandra Faria, we're so glad you were in the studio. It's great to see you, and I guarantee you, we want to come back and talk about
Argentina
when the 24th arrives.
Will be the topic
we'll be
this year, my friend.
All right. Well, for the Taylor Report, that's all we got. And we thank Ryan. We'll see you next week.